Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Only the best run here at the Indianapolis 500.
Mario, who do you feel you'll have to beat in this year's race?
People like A.J. Foyt and Bobby Unser, for instance.
Stand by for the checkered flag.
Absolutely incredible. Danny Sullivan spun in front of Mario Andretti.
A.J. has done it. He has won his fourth Indianapolis 500.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store. On 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
And thank you so much for Quality Supply and Tool for making it possible for us to gather here inside the Hensley Legal Group Command Center. It happens. Hire Hensley. Landon Kunz manning the ship, pushing the buttons for us, and playing the audio that has been accumulated by Mike Thompson. And my name is Jake Query. It is Beyond the Bricks on... right now, the cusp of the greatest month in the greatest city in the land, the month of May in Indianapolis. And Mike, we have so much fun doing this, and this year in particular. And we've offered a little sample of this a few shows ago, but this is going to be a fun one tonight because we're able to really put on display some of the new acquisition to your collection. It comes from a real racing enthusiast in Richie Murray, who you can elaborate on that, but we've got some really good audio courtesy of USAC's Richie Murray tonight.
Yeah, that's right. Richie Murray is a great friend of the show. He listens to the show every night, and he approached me at the end of last year's shows and said, hey, I've got some audio you might be interested in. And I perked up, of course, and it was on these, you know, reel-to-reels, and so we needed to get them digitized for use. And so we worked out a deal on doing that. And Richie's, you know, an incredible historian, as I mentioned the other night. I mean, he's, you know, twice the historian I will ever be, but he does such an amazing job for USAC. And, you know, he was Dick Jordan's right-hand man. I knew Dick Jordan a little bit at the end of Dick's life. And Dick was an amazing, amazing guy. And Richie's really taken the baton and done such an amazing job for USAC as a historian. And he provided these reels, but we didn't know what was on them. It could have been nothing, you know? So we got these things digitized, and then we found out that there's some real hidden gems on some of this stuff. So we're going to be sprinkling this in through the month, but thanks to Richie for being a great listener of the show, great friend of the show, and working with us on this stuff.
Well, I need everybody that's listening right now, and it doesn't matter if you are not dressed for the affair. You can pretend that you are. We're going to basically, it's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. We're just going to go ahead and put ourselves into an imaginary world. We're going to go back in time tonight, and we're all going to have a dinner together, a banquet, if you will. And Richie Murray came up with the audio that helped facilitate for us to spend this evening together in a banquet. And of course, in 1964, the Victory Banquet was always a celebration of not just the race, but those that, even if they didn't win, that might have had the kind of day where they charged through the field or got themselves some sort of an award after the fact, a Rookie of the Year award or any number of things. And usually it was uplifting, of course, and still is to this day. The Victory Banquet is something that we still see. But in 1964, of course, there was this somber nature that went over it. Yes, naturally, there was the celebration or the kudo that was passed out to A.J. Foyt for his second Indianapolis 500 win. But there was certainly a cloud that was hanging over that banquet. I don't have to tell most of you that are listening to know what happened in 1964. There were many that it haunted them for many, many years, maybe even for the rest of their life as a race fan. That dark black cloud that went up over the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as a result of the accident that would lead to fatal injuries for Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald. They were, of course, in their case, Eddie Sachs, the Clown Prince, a popular and beloved driver, Dave McDonald, a younger driver. And as the 1964 banquet got underway, there was no doubt a feeling in the room and at the podium that reflected the somber nature of the recollection of those two men. Here's a quick setup from the television coverage, as well as a comment from Sid Collins acknowledging the circumstances from the podium that evening.
Nearly 1,800 people are gathered here in the Murrah Egyptian Room for this victory dinner tonight. Somewhat of a subdued crowd, reflecting the tragedy at yesterday's 500-mile race. Yes, this is a victory celebration, but certainly a subdued one.
In the very kind introduction that Howdy Wilcox made, he was talking about our job of broadcasting yesterday, and I would be remiss if I accepted that credit myself. I have a large group of people who work with me, 35 in all, 11 broadcasters, but in particular, I'd like for him to take a bow, because without his mechanical know-how and race driver ingenuity, we would not have filled an hour and 45 minutes. Freddie Agabation, my co-worker up there.
Mike, you would think that with, of course, the kind of dichotomy of the emotion, but at the same time, there was still some celebration to be had. It would be difficult in that circumstance to be the driver, as it always is, to finish 33rd, meaning that you're the first to go up to the podium. But that was the situation for the Hurst floor shift, Watson Offey of Norm Hall. It would finish 33rd that year in the race. And Mike, that meant that Norm Hall was the first to be up on the podium in the banquet. And I think you've got to give some credit here to Norm, am I correct in saying, Mike, and understanding the circumstance, but also trying to just kind of lighten the mood a bit.
Yeah, I like Norm Hall's speech that he gives here. And one of the things that we're going to have kind of recurring theme is the speeches are very brief, which is an interesting thing we'll talk about later as well. But Norm Hall, when he gets up there, tries to inject a little bit of levity, and I think you'll see that through a few of the speeches as we play a few of the speeches from the 64 banquet tonight.
Here is Norm Hall in 1964.
And now, if we may, and Sam Hanks, the director of racing here at the Speedway and our great 1957 winner, will make the presentations. In 33rd place, will you step forward, please? Norman Hall, Los Angeles, California, the Hurst Special, car number 26. Norm. Norm, we got to get the loot loose here. And they're in order. Norm Hall's effort at the Speedway this year was a grand total of, well, where's my glasses, Norm? Getting old. $5,750. Norm, congratulations. I'm sure you wanted to finish a little further up, and I know you'll be back next year.
Still pays pretty good, about $2,500 a lap. Can't beat that. And we'll sure be back next year, but there's going to be one change. If there's a car owner looking for a job, I got a job for him. Thank you.
That's how it sounded in 1964. By the way, speaking of Norm Hall and his career at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway after that obvious disappointment, although he did make some levity in terms of the number of laps and how he got paid for it. The one interesting tidbit about Norm Hall from that, even though, and this was the case with a lot of drivers, they might have had the best intention to return the next year. 64 was the last of his two starts in the Indianapolis 500-mile race. The next driver to come up to the podium would be that of Bobby Unser. Second-year driver for Bobby Unser, who, of course, would go on to become a three-time winner. He finished 32nd, which was a spot higher than he had finished in his rookie campaign. Keep in mind, Bobby Unser, the only driver to finish 33rd in his first race and first in his last race. He summed up his feelings on his luck about the day from the podium.
In 32nd place, Bobby Unser, Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Studebaker STP Special number 9. Bob? Bobby Unser's prize money, grand total $6,750. Congratulations to you, Bobby, and it's real nice to see you here tonight.
Thank you, Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2 years in a row here. It's getting kind of tiresome. I'd like to thank publicly Mr. Andy Granatelli and all the Novi crew for all the hard work and everything they did this month and getting three cars in the race. I don't know how in the world they can put up with what they do just to have a car last a few laps, although we are very fortunate getting a car to finish. Thank you very much.
One thing, by the way, Mike, that I want to point out on this banquet from 1964 is the fact that, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, Sid Collins would have been the master of ceremonies, but yet who was the one that is interviewing the drivers during the actual award presentation?
So Sam Hanks was handing out the money and literally handing the money in envelopes. Like, here's an envelope that has $5,000 in it. He was the director of racing at the time, which was a largely ceremonial title. After he retired, after winning the 500 in 1957, he was given this director of racing title. And it was more of a goodwill ambassador type title as opposed to having any, you know, policy direction. But what would happen at the banquet in this case is, as you said, Sid would introduce the driver, and then Sam would say some words and say, you know, here's your $3,000 or $5,000 and hand him the money. And then the driver would get to speak after that.
Hence the Sam that is referenced with each thank. Now, the tragedy of the 1964 race, as we'd mentioned, it remained on everyone's mind throughout the banquet, and especially just how to handle the situation itself. As I had mentioned, and I think most that are native to Indianapolis or were around or have family or friends that were around for that race, that cloud, if you will, of the tragedy and really even the optics of that accident hung for quite some time. So it was obviously on everyone's mind. And yet you still go through the ceremonies of awarding lap money and participation money to all who entered the race. And so how exactly would it be handled when it came time to present checks to Eddie Sachs and Dave McDonald? That obviously was the real situation that was being discussed and determined leading up to that banquet. Two trusted friends of the Speedway were asked to handle this particularly delicate situation.
30th place has been awarded to Eddie Sachs and 29th place to Dave McDonald. At this time, may I present Mr. Howard Wilcox, the chairman of this banquet and the head of the Chamber of Commerce Citizens Committee, for a word.
Yesterday's 500-mile race was marred by a terrible tragedy in the absence tonight of two great sportsmen, one a veteran of our Indianapolis track and the other a newcomer. Certainly grieves us all. I well know that there are no words which are adequate at a time like this. 41 years ago, I lost my own father from driving a race car. He had won the 500-mile race. And I've been asked many times why I've stayed so interested in automobile racing. And I've thought about this many times. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt that he would want me to be interested in the sport that he loved. Now, I was just a youngster when I lost him, and I didn't have the privilege of knowing him. But I'm confident that he would have wanted me to do anything and everything that I could to increase the prestige and the popularity of automobile racing. I feel the same way about Eddie Sachs and about Dave McDonald. And I think that they would want their friends and their loved ones to try to understand that they too were doing something that they loved and something in which they excelled. As a token of respect for two great sportsmen who are not with us tonight, would everyone stand in silence for just a moment, please? Thank you very much.
Mike, I think given the circumstances, and unfortunately, we have been a part of auto racing fatalities since then, there seemingly is no right way when you go into it as to how to approach the subject or exactly what the blueprint is on the decorum. But I think it was well executed, obviously, there.
Yeah, it was well done. And Howdy Wilcox, it's important to point out that this Howdy Wilcox is not the other driver, Howdy Wilcox the second, who raced in the 500 as well. This is Howdy Wilcox, the son of the winner, the driver who won the Indianapolis 500 in 1919. But this is the Howdy Wilcox who also created the Little 500. So he was a PR expert. He, you know, he knew how to handle situations like this. So I thought he did a fine job in the circumstances he was dealt. It was a very difficult situation when you have two competitors who aren't there. It's obvious why they're not there. In fact, Ronnie Duman also was not there because he was burned in the accident, and he was not able to attend the banquet either. So it was handled as well as I think it could be.
Johnny Rutherford, like Bobby Unser, would go on to become a three-time Indianapolis 500 winner. But like Bobby Unser as well, the 1964 race represented his second DNF in as many starts. Johnny Rutherford, incidentally, has a very small burn on the right side of the back of his neck that he once, when I saw him at a race in Edmonton, explained to me was a scar from when he drove through that accident and a piece of the piece is the wrong word, but a flame of the gasoline that was on fire hit his neck as he drove through, and he still has that burn scar on the back of his neck. Yet another reminder of the tragedy of 1964. But Johnny Rutherford as well was one who spoke at the podium at the victory banquet.
In 27th place, Johnny Rutherford from Fort Worth, Texas, number 86, the Bardahl Special. Johnny Rutherford's prize money, $5,200. Johnny, nice to have you aboard with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Sam. Unser, the boat's getting crowded. This makes my second year here, and I have a grand total in two 500-mile races of 46 laps now, I think. It was short but scary. Thank you very much.
Mike, again, short and sweet for the drivers, I think, that were well aware of just kind of maybe the almost awkward nature of, I need to be appreciative of what I'm receiving here and respectful of the moment, but also respectful of the totality of the day and what still was lingering.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. I think we'll hear some of these other ones later on in the month, but it is interesting to me, though, how short these speeches really are. I mean, you could get seven or eight of these speeches in the time that we get one speech now at the victory banquet, I think. But I agree with you. I think a lot of this situation in particular in 1964 was due to the tragedy the day before.
And of course, the tragedy being that big elephant in the room at the beginning and throughout the course of the banquet, but that's not to say that there weren't things to celebrate as well, including audio from drivers that maybe you've never heard from before. We will do exactly that and let you hear it as we continue dinner this evening, the 1964 Victory Banquet, when we return to Beyond the Bricks.
Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Working on building a dream space, but don't know where to start? At the Home Depot, we can help you bring your dream project to life. Whether you're building a backyard oasis, a podcast studio, or a wellness space, we've got everything you need in store and online. With project guides and free delivery options, it's easy to go from dreaming to doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson, brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
And tonight, inside the Hensley Legal Group Command Center, it happens. Hire Hensley. We are looking back at the 1964 victory banquet of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Mike, so far we have enjoyed kind of the beginning of our dinner here. I do think that perhaps we could use more strawberries in the dinner, but that probably will be another episode of Beyond the Bricks, correct?
That's definitely coming later in the month. I can guarantee you there'll be a strawberry buffet.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that. That is definitely one of those inside baseball esoteric jokes. But for the veterans of Beyond the Bricks, you know what we're talking about, and you can clamor for exactly that. But back to the 1964 banquet. The drivers who had early exits from the 500 both had a legitimate shot at winning the race. There are some of those like Bobby Marshman and Jim Clark. But since they'd finished back-to-back in 25th and 24th, it's a great chance to hear rare audio from the two stars. Again, some of those in the back of the field did have a good shot, and we know that about the races, especially of yesteryear. It is a 500-mile race. But yet, for Marshman and Clark, had to be mixed emotions on what had to be a promising day, then a disappointing day, and a disheartening day all in one. Here's how they sounded in 1964.
In 24th place, actually missed 25th place, want to miss him, Bobby Marshman, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, the Pure Oil Firebird Special number 51. He went by so fast. He had the fastest leading lap of the race. The 15th lap was 157.646. Bobby's prize money, $6,950. Lap prize, $4,950. Total, $12,000 for Bobby Marshman. Bobby?
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank everybody that helped me this year, but I'm sure we'd be here for about 3 days if I had to list them individually. So I'll just thank my sponsor, the Pure Oil Company, my mechanic, Jack Beckley, car owner, Lindsey Hopkins, and my crew. Thank you very much.
Now in 24th place, from Doon, Scotland, Jimmy Clark, the Lotus Ford number 6. Jim, before you get the check, we have some other awards for you. Jimmy also won the Robert Bowles Memorial Trophy, the Walter E. Lyon Memorial Trophy, the Motor Age Trophy, and Motor Age wristwatches for himself and chief mechanic and car owner, Wynn Oil Company's Rex Mays Memorial Watch, the Speedway Shopping Center trophies for himself and chief mechanic and car owner. For his mechanic, Jim won the Marimont Trophy, a Philco portable stereo from Autolite, a set of Proto Tools, a Sun and Cylinder Hone and Black and Decker grinders and drill, and Mr. Wilcox once again will step forward with a check for you from the Peugeot Company.
Jimmy, before you were born, the Peugeot Company of Paris, France, was well known in Indianapolis. In fact, they had two cars that won, and their cars placed in the first 12 races in Indianapolis. And I confidentially understand they're interested in again in coming back to Indianapolis. But in the meantime, they are awarding you a check for $500 and a trophy, which you will receive later as being the outstanding foreign competitor in the Indianapolis 500-mile race.
Jimmy's 24th prize money was a grand total of $12,500. His speedway money was $7,500, and the lap prize was $2,100, plus the accessory money of $2,900, making a grand total of $12,500. Congratulations, Jimmy, and we'll be looking for you next year.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'd just like to take this opportunity, firstly, of thanking all my mechanics who have spent the last 5 weeks over here, away from home, preparing these cars. And I know it was a terrible disappointment to them yesterday that we didn't manage to finish the race, and I'm glad to say it was through no fault of theirs. However, I think that the pole position probably made up a little for it. I'd also like to take this opportunity of thanking the many people who I know are here present this evening who have also helped us, and all the people who have so kindly been understanding to our little differences. And I hope to come back and see you again sometime. Thank you.
Jim, we certainly hope that you do come back and see us soon.
And I would assume that Jim Clark, who of course would come back to win the Indianapolis 500-mile race a year later, then would look back and say, I accomplished two great things at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the span of roughly 12 months from one another. I won the greatest race in the world. And Mike, he also won the cherished Speedway Shopping Center trophy, right?
That's right. I'm sure that on his mantle back in Dune, Scotland, that the Speedway Shopping Center trophy was one of his cherished possessions.
Yes. Well, you know, you collect what you can, right? We know that much. And certainly... And still to this day, a number of different awards that can be presented. Now, obviously, one who had already been presented with the ultimate award was Parnelli Jones by the time he was back in 1964. Parnelli had a chance to win the race, but was slightly injured in a pit fire after Marshman, and Clark had dropped out. So Parnelli Jones accepting his award after the 1964 Indianapolis 500. The man that had won the race, of course, in 1963, and now, after just 55 laps, he had dropped out, finishing in the 23rd position.
In 23rd place, a man who wasn't released but escaped from the hospital last night. They couldn't hold him overnight. Driving the Agaginian Bose Seal-Fast Special number 98 from Torrance, California, Parnelli Jones. Parnelli kind of had a hot one yesterday. Parnelli Jones, driving the J.C. Agaginian Bowl Seal Fast Special, prize money $6,450, lap prize $1,050. Accessory $700, grand total $8,200. Congratulations, a little less than last year, but I think it'll help a little. Thank you, Sam. I would like to thank all of my pit crew, my mechanic most of all, Johnny Paulson, my car owner, Mr. J.C. Agaginian. Also, I'd like to thank all of the fellows who jumped out on the racetrack yesterday in front of me and stopped my car, or at least let me know at the time that there was something wrong, and there was. And I know right after I qualified this year that I made a statement that the Fords better stand on it, and they did. Thank you very much.
Mike, one of the things that I know when Richie Murray presented this audio to you, and again, we are grateful for it, as I know everybody listening is the fact that not only do we get to hear really the mood and the respect of the 1964 banquet, but you also get to hear from some drivers that we don't hear from often, including one, Mike, that... Even with your vast collection, I think you said you've never heard from before, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Coming up here, we'll hear from Walt Hanskin, who was one of the great road racers in American racing history. But I had never heard his voice once until this audio was found. And he drove for Shell Covalli in the famous MG liquid suspension cars, which were really cool cars. But I had never heard Walt Hanskin's voice until this. So it's just one of those things that when you just never know what you're going to find on these type of reels. And it's really cool to be able to hear some of these drivers that you know the name, but you've never heard them speak.
He would make two starts in the Indy 500. This one in 1964, as Mike mentioned, he was finishing 13th as a rookie. 1965, he came back, started 21st, brought it home seven spots higher in 14th, and then unfortunately was fatally injured in France in 1966. But here is, in fact, that voice that was new to Mike.
13th place, the MG Liquid Suspension Special number 53, a rookie this year, did a very fine job in the race. Bedminster, New Jersey, Mr. Walter Hanskin. Walt, nice having you here with us tonight. Walter, Speedway prize, $6,850. Accessory prize, $300. Grand total, $7,150. Congratulations to you, Walt. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's a delightful pleasure to be here. Needless to say, I've never driven on a circular track before. It's been a wonderful experience, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Peter DiPaolo, our team manager, all the mechanics, Joe Huffaker, the car builder, and, of course, Mr. Shell Covalli, the car owner.
Thank you very much.
Now, this is not the only driver, Mike, if I'm not mistaken. Walt's not the only driver that when you heard it, you said, I don't think I've heard his voice before, right? Another, I think, was that of Johnny White.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, Johnny White is somebody who, you know, had a very short career, which we'll discuss in a second. Very, very short career. But I had never heard Johnny White's voice before. And we actually have a couple clips that we're going to play throughout the month. This one, and then there's another clip we have later on that came from these reels we got from Richie. So very, very interested to hear what Johnny White sounded like.
This was the fourth place finisher in 1964, Johnny White.
Fourth place, and announced earlier this evening before we took the air, our rookie of the year, driving the Demmler Special, number 99, from Warren, Michigan, Johnny White. Rookie of the year, fourth place, terrific rookie, Johnny White, Warren, Michigan. Speedway prize, $15,650. Accessory prize, $5,050. For a grand total of $20,700. Congratulations, Johnny. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Sam. You people don't know how proud I am to be here and to participate in your race. Everybody's been so fine to me, and I've wanted to come here all my life. And I've got a wonderful car owner, Mr. Norm Demmler, and a terrific mechanic, Danny Oakes. And I had a real good crew. And I would like to thank Jimmy McAreath for the assistance he gave me, even though it wasn't too much. But it helped. He got me going pretty fast. And I'd like to come back here and put a show on for you next year if I could. Thank you.
There is a cruel irony to his comment there. I'd like to come back next year if I could, because of what would happen, what, Mike, some 2 weeks later at the Terre Haute Action Track for Johnny White.
Yeah, that's correct. It is absolutely an irony that what he said, you know, and I talked to Donald about this, and Donald was in the room, and Donald immediately remembered him saying that, you know, I'm going to put on a show for you next year. And then 2 weeks later, Johnny White was sadly paralyzed from the neck down in a sprint car accident at Terre Haute. And that was the end of his racing career. So not only did he not get to come back and put on a show, he never got to race again 2 weeks later. So an absolute tragedy that Johnny White's career ended like that. And he, you know, he passed away at a very young age. So you know, just really a sad situation involving Johnny White.
He was 31 years old when the accident took place. He had a lot of health complications as a result of the paralysis. He would live another 14 years, passing away at the age of 45 on Christmas Eve of 1977. But a fourth place finish and an impressive showing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for Johnny White. A driver that by the time 1964 rolled around was already involved in becoming one of the real fan favorites and a hard charger and one that people would always say this might be his year. And like Eddie Sachs, who was lost that year, Lloyd Ruby was known for his colorful personality, for his loquacious nature when there was a microphone around. And while it was a year that many may have had brief speeches, that was not necessarily the case for the third place finishing, Lloyd Ruby.
Now in third place, let us list the accessory prizes for you for the top three. For Mobil Oil, $3,500. Firestone Tire Rubber Company, $1,900. Autolite Division, the Ford Motor Company, $1,800. Monroe Auto Equipment, $750. H.K. Porter, $450. Perfect Circle, $350. Crestolite Division, $400. Proto Tool Company, $100. Grant Industries, $100. And $75 each from Stamp Manufacturing Company and the IDEO Corporation. And the accessory total is $9,500. And Sam will give you the sum in toto in a moment, but the Bill Forbes Racing Team Special number 18 was the car, and the man is from Wichita Falls, Texas. If you don't believe it, you just listen to him talk. Lloyd Ruby. Lloyd, while we're up here, I'd just like to take a minute to interrupt this payoff here for you.
I think we'd like to have all the announcers at the Speedway stand, and I think we owe them a real nice round of applause, too. Our Speedway announcers, please. Lloyd Ruby, Speedway prize $26,150, accessory prize $9,500, grand total $35,650. Congratulations, Lloyd.
Thank you a lot, Sam. It's really a pleasure to get to move a little bit closer to the mic. For the last 3 years, I've been sitting further down. I really appreciate the opportunity to drive the car for Bill Forbes this year. It was Dave Laycock fixed the car. I mean, he's really had a success of fixing the car. This makes, I believe, it's 16 straight races he's made points at. And he's done a wonderful job. It run good all day. I'm just glad that between AJ and I think we're going to take most of the money back to Texas. But the worst thing I heard today, he was fined $100 for running too fast. And I was trying to stay up with him. The only thing, it was under the yellow light. So he was griping about it so much, I did loan him $100 tonight to pay his fine. So I didn't want him to go home broke. Thank you.
Lloyd, we're sorry we made you walk so far in the past.
Lloyd Ruby in 1964. When we come back, we've got to hear from the man that won the whole thing, A.J. Foyt, when we return to the 1964 Victory Banquet.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or a sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Working on building a dream space, but don't know where to start? At the Home Depot, we can help you bring your dream project to life. Whether you're building a backyard oasis, a podcast studio, or a wellness space, we've got everything you need in store and online. With project guides and free delivery options, it's easy to go from dreaming to doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Beyond the Bricks with Jake Query and Mike Thompson. Brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Inside the Hensley Legal Group Command Center. It happens. Hire Hensley. Taking a look back at the 1964 Indianapolis 500-mile race victory banquet. And the victory, of course, was claimed by Supertex A.J. Foyt.
How we saved plenty of time for the awarding of all the prizes for our winner. You know his name. The name of the car, Sheraton Thompson Special, number one, our national champion for three times, and off to a good start to win it a fourth time from Houston, Texas. But let's run through his accessory prizes first. You listening?
Yeah.
Champion Spark Plug Company, $8,000. Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, $7,500. Humble Oil Company, $7,500. BorgWarner Corporation, $2,250. Monroe Auto Equipment Company, $1,500. Ray Bestis Manhattan Company, $1,000. Wynn Oil Company, $1,000. Perfect Circle Corporation, $750. Proto Tool Company, $500. Sun and Products, $500. Premier Industrial Corporation, $500. PA Sturdivant Company, $500. WFBM-TV, $500. Grant Industries, $400. Bozell & Jacobs, $450. H.K. Porter Company, $350. John W. Hobbs Corporation, $250. Stamp Manufacturing Company, $225. Ideal Corporation, $225. Ingersoll Rand Company, $200. The accessory prize total, $34,100. The lap prizes, $21,900. Now let's give you the other awards you're going to win before Sam steps forward with the grand prize total of the cash. And these presentations will also be made in the next 30 minutes, JJ. He also won the beautiful Ford Mustang pace car, the Borg Warner Trophy, the L. Strauss & Company Trophy, the Bardock Brothers Ringmaster Award, one for each hand, the John Hobbs Trophy, the WFBM Checkered Flag Trophy, the Wynn Oil Company's Diamond Studded Pin, a $1,000 wardrobe from Dick's Menswear, a 19-inch Philco television set from Autolite, merchandise certificates for your wife and mechanic's wife from Dorothy's Incorporated. For the car owners, you win the Raybestos Trophy. And for your chief mechanic, George Bignotti, the Stomper Memorial Trophy, the Premier 500 wristwatch, the PA Sturdivant Trophy, a $500 scholarship for the individual of your choice from Prestolite, a set of Proto Tools, and Black & Decker grinders and drills. And I believe that Mr. Tony Holman is going to read the total. So, Tony, if you will, please, sir, the grand total for our winner this year, A.J. Foyt, Jr. of Houston, Texas.
A.J., along with the car, of course, which I forgot to hand you, is in cash here in this envelope, $153,650.
Well, it's awful nice to be here again, sitting close to the mic, as Lloyd said. He did lend me $100. I guess I was Peck's bad boy again. I'm going to blame this on my pit crew this time. I was leaving the race. Roger Ward seemed to gain a little time on me, and the crew said I lost 12 seconds. I said, well, I'll make her up this lap. I guess the officials were watching. I ran a little faster than 120 miles an hour underneath the yellow. So in turns, I owe Mr. Fingler $100, willing to pay him with Ruby's money, and we're all square. Anyway, I'd like to thank the two car owners, Mr. Murphy, Mr. Anstead, for making this possible for me to win this race. Also, I'd like to thank A.J. Watson for these O&D cars. I've made a lot of money on them, A.J. A lot of people probably know his car's finished in the first four spots yesterday. And I think that's something for him to be proud of. There was three antiques, one rear engine. Other people I owe a great deal of thanks to. It's George Bignotti, my chief mechanic. We've been together since 1960. Had a lot of success, a lot of arguments. But the money we've made together, we've kind of overlooked the arguments. The man that worked the hardest of all of them yesterday was a man that in 1961 said he would never fuel for me again. A lot of people remember those days. Fuel nozzle had a malfunction. Poor Frank, aged about 20 years, had ulcers all that year. But yesterday, I made a pit stop in 15 seconds, picked up 60 gallons of fuel. So I'd like for Frank to stand because I owe him a great deal of thanks. Thank you, Frank. The other people on the crew yesterday was my father that kind of loafed a little bit that changes the right rear. We didn't change no tires. I thank Leroy Neumeyer, Bud Maria, Mac Mitchell, and Andy Miller, one of the best people that we've had on our crew. So this is about all I have to say. We'll be back next year. I don't know if it'll be a front engine or rear engine. I think we might put it in the middle just to be different. Thank you.
Thank you to Mike Thompson. Thanks to Richie Murray. Thanks to Landon Coons for putting it all together. And thanks to all of you for listening to Beyond the Bricks.
Whether you're building new or remodeling, trust Orlando's expert pool builder, American Pools and Spas. With our custom 3D design process, your new pool will meet your expectations. We also provide professional remodeling services backed by decades of proven experience. Enjoy total peace of mind when building or remodeling your pool. With our industry-leading extensive warranty, you can rest assured your investment is protected. Call 407-847-9322 or start your design at american-pools.com today.
Right now, Renewal by Andersen is giving you the power to choose. For a limited time, pick the offer that works best for you. Take 20% off your entire window and door project or enjoy 24 months of special financing. That's no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 full years. Our energy-efficient windows and doors keep your home cooler in the Florida heat, reduce drafts, and can help lower your energy bills. Visit bestwindowsflorida.com. Restrictions apply. License number CGC 1527613.